Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Antoine Gatt, who's a landscape architect working on the LifeMed Green Roof project here at the University of Malta. So, what is it?
I think the first thing we have to look at is what are green roofs. Green roofs is a technology which could be, which is considered very sustainable, and it refers to literally spreading a growing media on a roof or part of the roof, and actually planting plants on within that growing media. It needed to cover the whole roof, okay? It could be part of the roof, but then being a green infrastructure, you get loads of benefits out of it.
So what sort of things can you grow? Is it grass? Does that have the same benefits as...
Okay, if we look at the LifeMed Green Roof project, our remit was, or is rather, trying to create a baseline study. What we want to do is, considering that green roofs aren't in vogue or popular in on the island, unlike continental Europe, for example, we had to create a baseline study so as to show people that green roofs can actually work in Malta. Whenever I speak to individuals, you know, their main concern is, for example, leaks or the fact that nothing grows on the roof because we are a very warm or hot country. But what we set out to do is test plants on a roof environment to see whether they can successfully be cultivated. And in fact, we did. We tested over 25 plants, 21 of them were very successful. Now we're testing even more plants just to see their performance.
So you were saying if it works, in terms of it works, the plants grow, or what other benefits are there to having a green roof?
All right. There are many aspects that one has to look at. So it's the matter of cultivating the plants. Obviously, you wouldn't want your roof to leak. So there's a whole system of layers which one has to build up on the roof. So we have, for example, just above the damp-proof membrane, we have what we call a root barrier. It's there to protect the membrane from any root actions. We would have a drainage module, which would separate the let's say, the humid layer, which is the growing media, from the damp-proof membrane. That way, you never have any humidity on the roof, directly on the slab. Then you have a filter fabric, which would sieve, or which would retain the growing media from escaping down the drain. And then you have the growing media and the plants. So part of the project was testing these different layers and making sure that they all work without any negative consequences.
So is this something, the results of this research, are you not just looking at people to be slightly more eco-friendly, but even talking to major contractors for new builds to make sure they have this structure in place? Because I'm guessing it's going to be actually quite heavy?
The green roofs can be divided between two major groups. We've got what we call an extensive green roof and an intensive green roof. An intensive green roof is very much like a ground floor garden. Okay, so you can have trees, you can have shrubs, you can have ground cover, but it all depends on the structure you're building on. Okay, you don't just go and put a tree on the roof, you know, and expect everything to be fine. And you don't want accidents, for that matter. But depending on the structure is the green roof you construct. On the other hand, an extensive green roof is one which is practically very shallow and very light. Very shallow when we talk about the depth of the growing media. It's very light. We recommend sort of the shallowest would be around 15 centimeters, and you can go up to, I don't know, 20, 30 centimeters. It all depends, again, on the structural integrity of the building.
Is that something that you could actually, this shallow version, mm-hmm. something that you could put on a typical roof which is membraned and tiled?
Yes.
You know, today?
Yeah, the advantage we have, practically in Malta, we have two advantages. One is that we have concrete roofs, concrete slabs, which tend to be quite strong, okay? And secondly, we have flat roofs, which are the ideal situation. Obviously, I do not recommend that you would go and deposit the growing media on the roof before you speak to a structural engineer, because there might be some anomalies, or I mean, if you've got the old types of roofs, then you need to reinforce that roof.
Okay.
But that's a very important point, you know, that you have to get your roof certified by a structural engineer.
Okay. So how long has the project been going? Because I know you have another year left. So how long has it been going already?
We've been working since 2013, so that's 3 years. And as you said, we've got another year. During these 3 years, we have practically tested two types of growing media. We don't use soil, we use a growing media, an engineered soil. We've tested plants, we've tested the compatibility between the plants and the growing media, and now we're also testing the insulation properties and the stormwater management of green roofs.
So you were saying that you'd tested 25 types of plants and four of them didn't quite work. Are you testing more plants now as well so that we can have a variety of...
Yeah, for the last few months, we have last year, we've constructed a demonstration green roof. So it's a roof where anybody can come and have a look and enjoy and understand.
It's a university.
Okay. It's part of the Faculty for the Built Environment. The gates are open there, office hours, and people can come there and enjoy the roof. But still, it's an experimental roof, it's an experimental garden. So what we're doing, we're testing other species. We started off for the past 3 years testing native plants. So we tested those 29 species or over 25 species were mainly native plants. Of those, we've selected 21 or a number of plants which were very successful. And now we're testing even exotic plants, taking care that they do not cause any problem ecologically.
So this isn't the same as just putting lots of pots on your roof?
No, it's totally different. Yeah, sometimes when I speak to people, they tell me, I've got a green roof, you know, and I say, you do? Yeah, and they say, yeah, I've got loads of pots. That's something different. I mean, it would be a roof garden, but not a green roof. The dynamics are different. On a green roof, you're simulating a natural field, to say so, where you have one huge area of media, of substrate, and so the roots can literally move everywhere. You know, they're restricted how far down they can go, so they don't damage the slab and your structure, but horizontally they can go anywhere.
So we can't grow our own potatoes, is what you're saying?
Well, you will have to try it, but I guess they'll come out a bit regular in shape, because, as I said, you don't use soil, we use an engineered soil. And this engineered soil is, first of all, we use it because it's lighter, it doesn't compact itself, mm-hmm. It's free draining, so it doesn't, the weight is reduced, but it's mainly composed of aggregate. So you've got a large percentage of aggregate with around or just under 20% of organic matter. The rest is inorganic. So obviously your potatoes would be irregular in shape.
So does this this soil, this manufactured soil, engineered soil,
yeah.
medium, is it expensive? Or is that part of the research that if you can convince enough people to turn their roofs into green roofs, it's one of those things that we could buy in bulk? And
all right, yeah. In fact, that is one of the problems we have at the moment. What comes first, the egg or the chicken? We've done this research. It's doing fine. It's doing well. We're very successful. People come, members of the public come and ask us, okay, how can I grow a green roof? The problem is there's nobody, as far as I'm concerned, who can sell or who sells this substrate in bulk. So hopefully what we'll be doing as well is encouraging businesses to start investing in providing the services of a green roof.
Okay, so even like these new, you know, these towers that are being built, perhaps we could convince them to actually...
Yes, it's not just the towers. It could also be houses, you know, private property, businesses, stores, supermarkets. All these are very good contenders for having green roofs. Maintenance is to a minimum. I mean, if you've got a an extensive green roof, maintenance is a minimum. We spend around a day, a month, maybe, if that, maintaining our roofs.
Is that because there's a watering system or an
There is an automatic irrigation system, but the plants are, and the design is such that you don't need to maintain the roofs, you know, the vegetation, that much. If it was an intensive green roof, then that would be something different, because obviously it's you need to prune, you need to keep everything nice and tidy. But when you have an extensive green roof, it tends to generate on its own, so you select plants which are able to seed and grow on their own, and that sort of reduces a lot of the maintenance.
And so, is there another positive side effect, perhaps, with butterflies and birds, because there'll be more and more flora
in fact, yes,
and fauna
yeah.
around?
Unfortunately, the way things are going, our urban areas are practically sterile. Many gardens are being destroyed, and we've got loads of buildings, you know, well, people consider them as concrete jungles, and that's true. With a green roof, what happens is, at least one of the benefits, is you're creating habitats for wildlife, especially beneficial insects. We've been monitoring our green roofs, even the tests. So way back in 2014, we were taking images of insects we find on our roof, and they range from ants to bees, butterflies, spiders, you know, all these beneficial insects, ladybirds for that matter as well. And these are all beneficial for our own sake as well. I mean, if you consider the fact that a gecko eats mosquitoes, that's enough to have a green roof.
Let's multiply the gecko population.
The gecko population, that's it.
And do you have to have a big roof area to be able to use or have a green roof?
A green roof, okay. Well, if you have a roof and you cover it, you turn it into a green roof, the benefits will be obviously maximized. But you don't need to have a roof. You could have a terrace, for that matter. Any roof which could be greened is enough to create a green roof, to create a space which could be used for amenity purpose, for that matter, as well.
So is it has to have direct sunlight to
work, no, or? It all depends. Well, you have to design. This is like a garden. You have to design it according, or you specify plants according to your microclimate. So it's the climate in that particular area. You have green roofs, for example, which are very exposed, just like ours. Our green roof is exposed to the northeast and northwest. It's very sunny, you know, so you get the worst possible situation. And it was successful. So, I mean, if you've got a shadier garden, then things might be slightly better.
So could you do it on a balcony?
Well, you could, but then you have to look at the feasibility of it. If it's a very small balcony, it might sort of prove expensive or not worth having, you know. You could use pots. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a terrace, for example, something which is slightly bigger, yes, why not?
Okay, so you're looking at least a couple of meters by a couple of meters?
Exactly. I mean, to say everything, I've seen green roofs on really car parks, for example. I've seen green roofs on terraces, on sheds, and on garages. So, I mean, it could be anything.
Why do you think the Maltese, apart from the sort of cost association, don't have this culture of using our roofs, in fact, apart from for doing the laundry?
Well, to a certain extent, I wouldn't say we don't have the... We did have the culture where people used to go up on the roof, you know, and relax, especially in summer. And I remember us even sleeping on the roof, for example, in summer. Obviously, nowadays, because of air conditioning, you don't go up on the roof for some fresh air, because obviously you have the air conditioner. But there's a drawback to having air conditioning, because you have to pay the bills, okay? So if you had to look at green roofs insulate your building, all right? So at least your air conditioning bills are reduced. By how much, we're still studying, we're still doing the research on it. Hopefully, by next year, we'll have all the figures. But that is one of the benefits of green roofs, the fact that it insulates your roof So you have less maintenance on your roof, if you consider that so far from the initial studies we're doing. The membrane on the roof reaches a temperature of around 60 degrees on a hot day, all right? The membrane below the green roof goes up to about 40 degrees, if that.
Okay,
so that means that you have less damage to the roof, to the membrane, less maintenance, and you have the added benefit of insulation whereby you don't need to use your air conditioning that much.
And you said there's this specific soil and the drainage system means that, you know, if we have one of those torrential downpours that we do get not so often,
not
when we get them,
the
garden would actually survive that as well?
It would, yes. One of the properties of the growing media is that it is free draining. Okay, so it doesn't collect a lot of water. What it does, however, is it acts as a sponge. It retains as much water as possible during a downpour, and then it lets it down through the drain a bit at a time. So you would even be reducing flooding. If I may give an example, if you've got two trays, one is an empty metal tray and the other one is a tray with a sponge on top. If I had to pour some water on a metal tray, the water would just run down until it sort of finds a hole and goes down the hole. That's a conventional roof. If you have the other tray with the sponge on, what you do is you throw water, the sponge absorbs the water. When the sponge becomes saturated, then the water starts trickling down. And that's how a green roof works. So that means that once you have a downpour, you don't have these flash floods, but water sort of trickles down a bit at a time over the next half hour or so.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Antoine Gatt, who's a landscape architect here at the University of Malta, working on the LifeMed Green Roof project. What sort of plants are you finding that we can grow? Is it the sort of garden you can actually go and enjoy, or is it just a productive garden that's...
Initially what we did is we looked at the natural environment in Malta and tried to find a habitat which simulates a roof. So a roof is very exposed, get a lot of solar radiation, you get a lot of wind action, which is very hard on plants. So we looked around, and what came up is the garrig, the what we call shari. Okay, this is, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the rocky landscape with very low shrubs, you know, and those shrubs are used to that sort of environment. So we chose a number of perennial species, and we propagated them on the roof, and they're growing. They grow well. Okay, so we're looking at things like thyme, for example, mm-hmm. the wild thyme. We're looking at snapdragon. We're looking at, things like capers,
thing, yes.
Exactly. And the St. John's wort, the Maltese national plant. So these are very successful. Obviously, they've got different characteristics. They grow differently. For example, the plant which scores most points would be the St. John's wort. Other plants are very twiggy. They didn't like the environment that much, so we had to rule them out.
So once you've got this list of plants that works well, you've got your consultancy base essentially of what people need to have in place to grow. Are you going to help people roll out this program once the research is completed?
Regular. What we'll do is, obviously, being an EU-funded project, we have to document everything. So in our report, we will have a list of plants which we grew successfully on the roof. I mean, these can be found already on our website. Obviously, we're continuing our research with new plants, herbs, for mm-hmm. example. We're growing sage successfully, but obviously we can try other species. Rosemary is a diehard plant, you know. I mean, there's no getting it wrong. So, but obviously there is more research which we could make to grow other plants.
And are there ways, you were talking about plants that are compatible with the medium, are there plants also that are compatible with each other that, you know, when the rollout happens, you'll give people an idea of this plant should be near this plant, this should be
okay,
near the edge, this should be...
Okay, that's a different story. I mean, when it comes to compatibility, what we try to do is we try to associate plants, or we plant plants together according to how we found them in the wild. But obviously, there is documentation which suggests that certain plants are best grown next to others. We didn't go into that. That's something which is different.
So this LifeMed Green Roof project, you said it's EU-funded, so does that mean there are other universities doing the same project in different countries?
Yes, it is. It is an EU-funded project. It's funded by the Life Plus, and the University of Malta is the main beneficiary. We have three other project partners, practically the MCCAA. So MCCAA is looking at publishing a standard, a Maltese standard for green roofs. That will secure practically how green roofs are built. As I said, we don't want accidents to happen. So these standards will make sure that people will do things carefully.
Just envisage having a lawnmower on the roof.
On the roof, yeah. Then we have two other entities which come from Como. We've got MAC, which is a Minoprio Analisi e Certificazione. It's a laboratory in Como, and they test anything to do with horticulture, so green roofs, and they were even, in fact, involved in the Italian standard documents. And we have Fondazione Minoprio, which is an education institution, very much like MCAST, say. It's a research and education institute, which are doing research on plants and propagation.
So you're looking at this project, so there's obviously multiple benefits. There's A, having a garden, your roof space, which for me sells it anyway. But then you've also got the added benefits of the insulation.
Yeah, being a green infrastructure, you have a number of benefits. We've counted so far around 12. So you have things like, as we said, insulation, you have flood mitigation, pollution, you mitigate pollution because the plants trap pollutants. You're recycling, or rather you're transforming carbon dioxide into oxygen because you've got plants. There's biodiversity, you know, education, PV panels work better. So there's quite a number of
cost benefits. So actually what you're saving is pretty much would balance out what you
yes, eventually it would, yeah. And the benefits are varied. There are benefits which are aimed at the owner, okay, like amenity and insulation. But then there are also broader benefits, such as, for example, lowering the atmospheric temperature, okay, and the flood mitigation. So it varies. There's also economic benefits, because obviously you're creating new jobs. We need people to maintain, you know, importing the materials and so on. So there's quite a broad.
And so are there people lined up to be ready to import these materials?
I hope so.
No, because if the project finishes next summer, it would be nice to sort of within a year be able to, when you land in Malta, be able to see a lot more green roofs.
Yes, yeah, that's it. That's what we're hoping, in fact.
We should have a competition.
Yeah, we should.
So you were talking about there's herbs that can grow. Is there anything else edible that we'd be able to grow on our roofs?
I'm sure that most of the herbs are it's possible to grow them, because herbs tend to be quite hardy as plants. One has to be careful what types of vegetables to grow. Obviously, you can grow even trees, so you can have fruit trees, but olives, for example, it's quite a hardy tree. Obviously, one has to even keep in mind the structural integrity. But I know for a fact that restaurants, for example, abroad in France, in the UK, in America, you know, they have green roofs to grow their own herbs. You know, and they grow them organically, so that's sort of marketing product as environmentally friendly or environmentally sustainable.
That's actually an interesting point you mentioned about organically. Would this would these be able to qualify as organic
gardens? Long as you don't use, as long as you don't use pesticides, agrochemicals, which fall outside the organic field. Yes, why not? Why not?
Like the word field used there, thank you. So if people wanted to find out a bit more about this project, you've said that we can actually come to university and visit pretty much within office hours.
Yeah.
Where else can we find out information on the project?
On the project. All right. We've got a website dedicated to the project. So if anybody wants to learn, get more information, if you type in www.lifemedgreenroof.org, you get into our website. We've got a Facebook page by the name of LifeMed Green Roof Project. You could even arrange an appointment with us if you would like some more information, and we'd be happy to tour you around our project and discuss green roofs.
Excellent. Well, thank you again. That's Antoine Gatt, landscape architect here at the University of Malta. Well, that's been really, really interesting. So I've been talking to Antoine Gatt of the LifeMed Green Roof Project here at the University of Malta. Results are out the end of July next year. That's 2017. So look out for what's going to be happening on a roof near you. Next week, I'll be talking to Dr. Godfrey Greck, who's talking to us about breast cancer research that's happening here at the University of Malta.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.